Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 19 lines from the top of Daf Dalid. You'll notice a little less than halfway down the page, the Dibur HaMaschil from the Gemara, Avoloi Mimeg HaGishomim UMimei HaKilon. Our Mishnah had mentioned that one is allowed to water a beis hashlochin on Cholamoyed and on Shvius, provided he draws his water from a ma'ayon, a live spring. And the Mishnah pointed out that it didn't matter whether it was a newly developed live spring or one that had been running in the channel for a long time. However, one cannot draw from a rainwater supply nor from a deep well supply. So that is the topic of our Gemara. As you can see on the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Mei kiloin osur mishum tircha. Drawing water to water your beis hashlochin, your irrigation field, from a deep well is forbidden because of the amount of extra trouble that's involved. Tircha refers to exertion or trouble, and we on Chol HaMoed try to avoid that. And likewise, with regard to Mei Gishomim, there are Shnei Deos, as opposed to the Mei Kilon, which is clearly Osir because of Tircha, the drawing of the water from a rainwater supply. There's two reasons that the Gemara offers, Behesber Isir Hashka'a Bohem, in explaining why there's a prohibition in drawing from a supply of rainwater. Now, the Gemara. Bishlama Mei Kilon Iko Tircha Yisera. Granted, the Mei Kilon is easy to understand as why it is forbidden is because of the extra exertion needed to draw the water from there. As we explained before, it was we're basing this explanation on that which you see in the Bach commentary in the bottom part of the page, Ois Aleph, where he says, he quotes the Rambam that says that it's a Bor Am Omoik. With regard to Mei Gishomim, the Gemara asks, Mai Tircha Ika, what is the trouble, the extra exertion needed in drawing water from a rainwater supply? The same source that we cited before from the Bach, Ois Aleph, he makes reference to the Mei Gishomim as well, and he says that Mei Gishomim referred to here are pools of water that accumulated as a result of rainfall. The fact that it's a, we'll say it's a limited or finite source of water, so in the course of time when you continue drawing from the rainwater supply, so the water level will descend, will become lower, and you'll eventually have to draw from the water supply using a pail and rope because of the fact that the water level has diminished. So now we continue in the Gemara. The Gemara is asking regarding the Mei Gishomim, what is the Tircha as it is right now? Omar Reb Ilah, Omar Reb Yochanan, Gzeiro Mei Gishomim Otu Mei Kilon. There, in fact, according to this approach, there is no Tircha per se in drawing water from a pool of rain water. However, we're fearful that if we allow you to use pools of rainwater, you're going to come to use, make no distinction, and draw water from the kilon, the deep water supply. So in explaining things, Rabbi Ilah, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says that it is a gzeirah. Rav Ashi Omar, Me Gishomim Gufayhu Lide Mekilon Osu. Rav Ashi says, we don't make a gzera, in other words, banning one thing because you might come to use a more serious problem source later, but rather the Mei Kilon in the Mei Gishomim water supply inherently is problematic, and as we described before, as you continue to draw from the Mei Gishomim, the rainwater supply, the water level declines, it lowers, and it itself will come to a Mei Kilon situation where you will be drawing water from that very same spot using the rope and pail, which involves extra exertion. So just to review the main point of difference, Rav Ashi does not say that the prohibition is based on a gzera, whereas Rav Ilo, quoting Rav Yochanan, says that the problem of the Mei Gishomim is that if I allow this, I will come to another situation which is worse. That is a gzera format of prohibition. So now, with that distinction in mind, the Gemara points out the komifligi b'derabbi zera. The controversy between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Ashi is based on whether or not you accept Rabbi Zera's teaching. The Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbo Bar Yirmi, Amar Shmuel, Nehorois Hamoishchin Mayin Min Hoagamim. Rivers that flow as a result of a water supply in a lake. Mutar lahashkois mehen b'choloi shel moyed. We allow you to draw water from those rivers on cholam moyed, to draw water, to water the beis hashlochin, as we've described earlier, that you're allowed to water a beis hashlochin in order to prevent loss. Now, this heter of Rabbi Zera is such that we don't make a gzera that we're afraid that the water supply here is going to stop and that you will then come to draw from another river, which would in fact be a lot of tircha, a lot of exertion. So what do we see? Rabbi Zera allows the use of this river without fearing it's stopping, it's drying up, and you're coming to draw from another supply. So now we want to tie this into our number one and two above, Rabbi Elam Rabbi Yochanan versus Rav Ashi. Mor is le de Rabbi Zera. Rav Ashi agrees with Rabbi Zera that we don't make gezeros. In other words, when Rav Ashi said that the Mei Gishomim is a problem, it's not that it is a problem because I might come to something else. That is a gzera format. Rather, Rav Ashi said that the Mei Gishomim inherently has in it the potential of Mei Kilon. So Rav Ashi accepts Rabbi Zera's approach, we'll call it the non-gzera approach. Umor, Rabbi Ilo, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan, less lay the Rabbi Zera. He doesn't hold from Rabbi Zera, insofar as Rabbi Zera did not accept the Gezera format, and Rabbi Ilo is strict in the sense that he does worry about using A because out of fear of coming to use B, which is a Gezera format. Gufa, Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rabba Bar Yirmi Omar Shmuel, Nahoros Hamoishchin Mayim Minu Agamim. Rivers whose flow is from water that's accumulated in a lake. Mutur Lahashkois Mehen Bechol Shomoye. You can water your fields from those rivers on Cholomoye. Esve Rabbi Yirmiya L'Rabbi Zera. Let's just point out that Rabbi Zera is the one that quoted this heter. Rabbi Yirmiya now challenges that. Let us point out a point that Rashi made earlier under Dibur HaMasu Nohoros HaMoishim Ra'agamim. We're looking at Rashi, the upper half of the page. Hashto Mashmale Me Agomim Avidu De Paski. It's implied that the water of the lakes does, it represents a finite water supply in that it can be used up. So we saw Rabbi Zera giving us a heter of drawing water from rivers whose origin are these agamim, these lakes. Now Rabbi Yirmiyahu challenges. Eisvei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera. Our Mishnah said, Avoloi mime gishomim voloi mime kiloin. One is not allowed to use a rainwater supply, nor the deep well supply, and the rainwater supply was problematic because it might dry up, it might become depleted, and I'll then come to draw water from the depleted supply where the level has lowered, and I'll have to draw from the depths. So the restriction of the mission is a certain sense of fear of a supply becoming depleted and my coming to a bigger problem. So too, Rabbi Yirmiyahu asks, why not worry that the agamim that supply these rivers will will become depleted? So why is Rabbi Zera so lenient? Omar Lei, Rabbi Zera answers, Yirmiyahu Bri, my son Yirmiyahu, an expression of friendliness. He says, Hani Agamim de Bovel, the lakes in Bovel that I am matir, that I'm allowing, Kemayo de lo paski domu. They are like an endless water supply. In other words, there is a great amount of water in Bovel. What exactly that's a reference to, is it subterranean water tables that serve as the source of water or whatever? We know from previous Gemaras, we know from Maseches Tainis, for example, that Bovel is a very marshy area, and the water there's an ample supply, and therefore there is nothing to fear. So Rabbi Zera is saying that in principle, yes, when you have a limited water supplies, even though they're available now, but there's a fear they'll become depleted, and you will then come to extra exertion later on, there is what to restrict. However, not so in the case of the lakes of Bovel. Now, as you can see, we have a new marking, a diamond, one of our series indicators. On the side of the one, there are Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic, and Mivneh, a structural note. The diamond is featured, and we've written Sidra Shel Braisois, a series of Tanaic sources, Shetochanam, whose contents are Inyan Hashko B'chol HaMoed. They have to do with watering on Chol HaMoed. So now we start the series of Tanaic sources. Tonu Rabbanan, Hapsikos v'Habrechos shenismalu mayimer of Yom Tov. Psikos and brechos, we'll just say, are pools. Rashi says they're one in the same. They're pools that are filled, they got filled with rainwater from before Yom Tov. Osur lahashkos mem b'cholo shomoyed. You cannot draw water from them to water your fields on Cholomoyed. V'imhoysa amas hamayim oiveres beinehem muter. If, however, there is a stream that runs between these pools, so it is allowed. The idea being that if the Mei Gishomim, the rainwater of the pools, gets depleted, you still have this stream available to serve as a source of water. Omar Rav Papa. Now, what you have here, Aleph and Beis, the next line, Rav Ashi Beis, two opinions that qualify this. So, Omar Rav Papa, V'hu Sherubo Shel Oysa Sodo Shoysa V'Oysa Amas Hamayim. The stream that we just referred to is going to be the basis of a leniency, provided that the majority of the field that's being watered could be watered in one shot from that stream. So of course you have to envision a certain ratio of stream water supply and size of field and conclude that if the majority of that field can be watered, let's say in one day, from that stream, so then we'll allow you to draw water from these rainwater pools. Rav Ashi Omar, he's more lenient and says, Afal pi she'ein rubo shel oisus sada sheise, even if you don't have the majority of the field being watered in one day from that stream, since, however, the stream is a flow, means it's a flowing stream, Meimar Omar, the owner will figure, Ilo Shasya Lechad Yuma, if it cannot be watered in one day, Tishti Litre Utlosa Yomi. So I'll water it over the course of 2 or 3 days, and he won't come to troubling himself to bring from another water supply. Tana Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and accompanying this source we have a diagram based on information that we see in Rashi. So before we do the Gemara text, let's take advantage of our non-Da Vinci artwork that appears on the side of the Gemara. So we apologize for the lack of professionalism in our artistry, but nevertheless, it hopefully can help. On the side, you see fields that are in step form. You have a higher field. We call that the Beis HaShlochen Gavoya, and there's a lower field called the Beis HaShlochen Nomuch. Between the two fields, there's a pool of water that we label Brecha. Alongside the upper field, the upper Beis HaShlochen, there's a live spring, a water supply. So that's the diagram that's beneficial for this particular source. Tana Rabbanan. Brecha shenoitefes mayim misode Beis HaShlochen zu. A brecha is a pool of water where water is dripping from, the runoff water, if you will, is dripping from an upper irrigation field into this pool. So you can draw water from that pool to water the lower irrigation field. So the Gemara asks, the ha avida the poska, but that pool is a limited supply and it can dry up. So how can we allow your drawing water from it to water the lower field? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, vadayin hi metaftefes. The permission of drawing water from that lower pool is given the circumstances that water is still dripping from the upper field into the pool. So the pool is being supplied with water. So while the pool is being supplied with water from the runoff of the upper field, you can draw from it the brecha to water the lower field. Omar Abaye. Abaye comes in with an additional restriction. He says, V'hu shelo posak ma'ayon rishon. That this is all fine and good, provided the live spring that is running by the upper field is still flowing. But if it is no longer flowing, if its water has been depleted, even though there is dripping from the upper field into the pool, the brecha, that is not sufficient grounds for allowing watering of the lower field. Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Oimer, Shtei Arugoi Zu Lamalo Mizu. If you have two furrows, one above the other, you have this phenomenon in step farming. We have, let's say, fields that are alongside mountains where the each level is a different step, so to speak, going up the mountain, and you can have then furrows on one level and on each furrow on a different level. So if you have a situation like that, Lo yidle min ha'tachtoino v'yashke eselyon. You shall not draw water from accumulated water in a lower furrow to water an upper one. There's too much effort in that. Yoyser al kenomer Rabbi Elazar bar Shimon. Furthermore, he says, afidu aruga achas, chetzio nomuch v'chetzio gavoa, even one furrow, where part is higher, part is lower, lo yidla mimokam nomuch v'yashke lemokam gavoya. You're not entitled to draw water from a lower level and raise and the water to the and to the higher level and water it. Again, this is there's too much tircha, too much trouble involved. And of course, all of these halachas are relevant to Chol HaMoed when we are trying to, on the one hand, find some leniency in allowing you to prevent loss, but on the other hand, not where it comes at the expense of too much exertion. Tonu Rabbonan, Madlin liyorokos, kedei laoichlon, v'bishvil liyapoison osur. Now at this point, when you the first reading, you think that Madlin means drawing water. Drawing water, usually with a pail, like the word dli is the noun form of this verb, madlin. On the side of Gemara, we have a topic heading, and where we've written diyun behesber, a discussion trying to explain hodikotoni madlin liyorokos b'chol HaMoed. That is what we just read in the source. Hayim pirusho, does it mean madlin mayim? Oy, madlin is dilul ha-yirokos. Dilul means thinning out the vegetables, where they're growing very densely, so there is a tendency to want to thin them out. So our source says that you're allowed to madlin li-yirokos, kedei lo-oichlon, in order to be able to eat from them. In other words, you we'll call it a last watering before they become fit or desirable to eat. However, if the watering is to improve them, to make them nicer, that is forbidden. That comes under the problem of harvocha, of increase, of profiting, which we do not allow on Chol HaMoed. Now a little story. Ravino v'rabo toisva havu ko'azli b'urcha. So these two rabbis are on the road. They're walking on the road. Chazul al gavra. They see a man to have a doli davlo b'chola demoyado. He's drawing water with pails of water on Chol HaMoed. Omar le rabba toisva le ravina le simor le shante. So rabba toisva says to Ravina, "Come, sir, and excommunicate him for violating the rules of Chol HaMoed. He is disparaging Chol HaMoed in his extra exertion." Omar lay, so Ravina says back, "Vohatanya, but did we not learn madlin lirokus kidei laoichlon, that you're allowed to do that?" Omar lay, so Rabo says back, "Misavris my madlin maya, who says that madlin in the Tanaic source means drawing pails of water?" My, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, madlin. What does madlin in the source mean? Shlufi. Shlufi means to pull out, to reduce density, to thin out. Kidisnan, as the following source teaches, and here you see the use of the word meidal or madlin in that sense of thinning out. Hamedal b'kefanim, one who thins out in a vineyard, kishem shumedel b'shelo, just like he is allowed to thin out his own vines, kachumedel b'shelaniim, so too he can thin out the section of the field that's designated as payoff for the tithe for the poor. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer b'shelo rashoi v'eno rashoi b'shelaniim. He's entitled to thin out his own, but not that which belongs to the poor. We don't have to get involved with the specifics of this particular source other than noting the use of the word meidal, not meaning drawing of water, but rather thinning out. Omar lei, so Ravina, who was reticent to putting the person in excommunication, he says back to Rabbi Toisva, v'hotanyo madlin mayim lirokos kedei la'ichlan. Here we dashed underline the key word. Here the word mayim is actually explicit. You're allowed to draw water for vegetables if that's going to enable you to eat from them. So Rabbah withdraws at this point and says, Itanya, Tanya, if you have a Tanaic source which says so explicitly that it is allowed, then so be it, and I withdraw my demand for his excommunication. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where a topic heading appears, the Nosei, Ugiois Ligifanim. This is ditches that are dug around vines. Ditches will eventually be filled with water for the benefit of the vines. Chafiras Chadoshim, Chatitas Yishonim. Two topics will be part of this discussion: creating a new ditch or cleaning out an old one from accumulated debris. The Gemara. The Mishnah said, V'ein oisin ugios ligafanim, my ugios, what is meant by ugios, Omar Rav Yehuda, banki. Banki are, as we said before, ditches that are dug around vines and olive trees in which water is placed. Tanya Nami Hochi, and a Tanaic source supports this. Eluhain Ugios. The following are Ugios. Bedidin, Shebeikre Zesim, Vishebeikre Gifanim. Bedidim are depressions or holes, pits that are dug out around the roots, the base of olive trees and around the roots of the vines. More asks, Amy Vahar Rav Yehuda Shora Livne Bar Tzisoi Lemevad Banki LeKarmehon. We're saying that it's also to do so, but didn't Rav Yehuda allow? We were saying before, and you can see it's Rav Yehuda himself was explaining the Mishnah that says Ein Oisin Ugios LeGifanim, and Rav Yehuda explained that as being digging out the ditches. So Rav Yehuda, two lines above, was saying, along the lines of the Mishnah, it is forbidden to make the ditches around the vines. But here Rav Yehuda himself, or Rav Yehuda Shora, he allowed Libnei Bar Tzisoi, a name of a people, Lemevad Banki LeKarmeon, to create Banki. The Banki, notice the dot underlining, that's the same word he used before. He's allowing that for their vines. Lo kashya, there's no problem here, there's no difficulty. Ha b'chadati, ha ba'atiki. That which Rabbi Yehuda would forbid based on the Mishnah is chadati, chadash, new ones, where they weren't there to begin with. That is also to do on Chol HaMoed. Ha ba'atiki, however, if there had been ditches around the vines, and they simply had become filled with debris, then it is allowed. Atiki means old ones. Maybe they were already dug out from before Chol HaMoed, but in the course of time, debris had accumulated, so you're allowed to clean them out. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari Omer, Ein oisin es ha'amo betchila b'moed u'bishvias. One is not allowed to dig out a stream. An amo is a channel in which water will flow, so you're not allowed to do that initially on Chol HaMoed nor on Shemitah. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Noseya topic heading, Shnei Deos Lomo Ein Oisin Ama Samayim B'Shvias. Two opinions as to why one is not allowed to make dig out a stream on the Shemitah year. Now the Gemara. I understand the prohibition on Chol HaMoed because it involves extra exertion. And, as we've said many times, Chol HaMoed is a time that we oppose extra exertion. Elo Shvius, my time. What is the prohibition on the Shemitah year of digging out a ditch? Pligi Bo, Rabbi Zerov, Rabbi Abo Bar Momol. There is a discussion or a controversy between Rabbi Zeir and Rabbi Abba. Chadomer bnei shenira ka'oider. One says the problem is it appears as if you are tilling the land, as you're digging out the ditch. It could give the impression that you're tilling the land, and tilling the land is prohibited on Shemitah, on the sabbatical year when all agricultural activity is prohibited. The other says that the problem with digging out a channel of water is that you're now preparing the banks of the channel for planting. In other words, as you're digging out the dirt from the creating the channel, so that you're piling up loose dirt along the agapel, the banks, the sides, the banks of the channel, and that loose dirt is suitable for planting. Again, we don't want this to be done during the Shemitah year. My Binai, what is the difference between these two explanations? So the diamond is used here to accentuate the suggested points of difference. And on the side of the under the Mivneh heading, you can see a diamond is featured. Ikal Binayu, Yesh Nafgamina Bein Shnei Hatamim. A practical point of difference between these two explanations. So let's try to see what that is. My Binai, what is the difference between these two explanations? Ikal Binayu Deka Asu Mayo Basrei. That there immediately appears a flow of water after he digs out the channel. Man de Omar mitnei shemachshir agapel Azriya Ika. According to the explanation that you're creating suitable banks for planting, so that remains a problem. Water. So the fact that water starts to flow immediately after you're finished digging out is not reduced. The problem is not reduced by the appearance of the water if you are explaining the problem, the initial problem, as preparing the banks for planting. But according to the explanation that digging out the channel creates the impression that you're tilling the soil, well, when you till soil, water doesn't flow immediately after that. So it doesn't, the fact that the water appears immediately would then ameliorate the problem of its appearance of odor, of tilling. The Gemara asks, Laman d'omar b'nei shenira ka'odor, using that explanation, and in the case where water appears, we're saying there is therefore no problem, but still, lechush m'nei shemachshir agapel Azriya, wouldn't he be concerned with the fact that the banks are being readied for planting? Doesn't that bother him? It does. Elo. So then what's the point of difference between these two explanations? Because at this point we're saying that even if your initial explanation was that the channel digging should be prohibited because of Nira Ka'odor, but once water flows, that problem falls away, but there still remains the problem that the banks are being readied for planting by having loose dirt being cast up upon those banks. Elo, Iko Binayo, rather, here is a point of difference. The koshokil mine v'shodi levroi. That as you're digging out the channel, you're shokil mine, you're taking dirt from where you're digging, v'shodi, and you're casting it, you're throwing it levroi, far away. Levroi literally means outside, meaning the loose dirt is being thrown at a distance, and you're not piling it up along the banks of the channel that you're creating. According to the explanation that we prohibit digging out a channel because you're readying the banks for planting by placing there the loose earth, which is good for planting, leko, that is no longer a problem because you're throwing the earth away at a distance. But if, according to the problem of the appearance you're creating, it appears that you're tilling the soil, well, that remains a problem. It doesn't matter where the dirt that you dig out lands, even if it lands far away, your action right now in this channel digging, creates an impression that you're tilling the soil. Ulaman, Omer, Nation, Mashra, Abel, Israel, this Gemara asks in the same style as we just did before, according to the one would be Makil, when you're throwing the dirt far away, because the only problem would have been that you're preparing the banks for planting, but still, that same opinion, Lechush Mitnei Shenira Ka'odor, shouldn't he be concerned with the appearance of one who is tilling the soil? And of course, we're focusing on the Shemitah year, and tilling the soil is strictly forbidden. The Gemara answers, Odor Nami, one who is involved with tilling the soil, ki koshokil, when he removes the dirt from where he is digging out the dirt for tilling, biduchtei monachle, he places it in that spot. And by the fact that he is casting the dirt away at a distance, so that solves the problem. It no longer looks like someone who is oder. Ameimar masni lo, ameimar, explain that which Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah forbids, digging out an amma on Shvius, mitnei shenira ka'oider. So Ameimar taught, explain Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah, as you're not allowed to do something, digging out the channel, because you're appearing as if you are tilling the soil. So we're going to focus on that explanation for the next section of Gemara. Before we go further into the Gemara, though, let's glance at the side, under the Nosei, the topic heading. Lefi Ameimar, Tam Shabalozo ben Azariah oisir lasus amas hamayim, according to Ameimar, the reason Rabbi ben Azariah forbids digging out a channel, mipnei shenira ka'oider, it looks like you're tilling the soil. HaGemara mevia mokor shenira de Rabbalozo ben Azariah lochev sheish lozeh. The Gemara will then bring a source where it appears that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah himself doesn't concern himself with that problem of appearing to be one who is tilling the soil. U miyashev, and the Gemara will then answer. So we continue in the Gemara. Ameimar presented his explanation of the mission of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, prohibition of digging out a channel. It's because it creates the impression of a word, it creates the appearance of one who is tilling the soil. Would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said, Kol Shenira Koider Osir, anything that appears during the Shemitah year as one who is tilling, it is therefore forbidden. Veraminu, we raise an objection based on the following Tanaic source in which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will appear. So just pay attention or note that his name will appear in a couple of lines. This source deals with fertilizer in a field. Now it's usur during the Shemitah year to fertilize one's field. Let us say a person happens to have a large supply of fertilizer. Oise odom es zivloi oitzar. A person can create a storage area for his zevel. Rashi says, Oise odom zivloi oitzar, shemachnis kol zivlo b'shvias basodem v'lo amrina dira kemizavel sodehu b'shvias. A person can collect all of his fertilizer, and when the Gemara speaks about fertilizer, you can imagine it's a reference to all animal refuse, animal dung that he gathers together, and the source is telling us he can pile it up in his field and not worry about the appearance of fertilizing one's field, which otherwise would be forbidden on Shemitah, but it doesn't appear that way. Rabbi Meir, the Gemara goes on, the source goes on, Rabbi Meir, Oser, Ad Shiyamik Shloy Shetvachim, O Ad Shiyagbiya Shloy Shetvachim. Rabbi Meir says it's not allowed unless there is a depression, a depth of 3 Tvachim, and you'll pile the fertilizer in that area, so it doesn't appear that you're fertilizing the field, or if there is a platform, some type of elevation of 3 Tvachim above the field. If he had a small amount of fertilizer in the field from before Shvius, Moisiv Alov Vaholech, you can add to it and not have to create a depression of 3 tefachim or an elevation. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Oser. Now here is where we become interested. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah does not allow that, even if he had a little zevel from before Shemitah. Ad shiyamik shloisha, ad shiyagbiya shloisha, o ad shiyitain al hasela. Unless you dig out, now at this point, ad shiyamik shloisha, we've dashed underline ad shiyamik, because this is the main problem. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is allowing loading up the field with zevel if you dig out a depression of 3 tefachim, or create a platform, an elevation of 3 tefachim, or put it on bedrock. What we have to focus on is just these two, basically one word, ya'amik, shiyamik. So we're talking about digging out on the Shemitah year in the field, and it seems to be okay. Your intention is for creating an area for putting the fertilizer and not for tilling. Ah, does it not appear that you're tilling? Doesn't seem to bother Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So that is the problem. On the one hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah seemed to be concerned, according to Amemar's presentation of Nireh Ka'oider, and here in this Tanaic source, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not concerned with Nireh Ka'oider. Rabbi Zera v'Rabbi Abba bar Momo Chan Omar, here are two explanations to answer this question. So one says, Chan Omar kegoin sheheemik. The expression Ach Yamik doesn't mean he's going to dig out a depression on the Shemitah year itself, but rather it had been dug out before the Shemitah year. So that Amemar's explanation holds good, that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah would be opposed to things that create the appearance of tilling on the Shemitah year. The source that allows Ach Yamik doesn't mean on the Shemitah year. He dug it out before the Shemitah year. V'chad Omar zibloi mochiach olav. The other explanation is that, okay, even on the Shemitah year itself, you're allowed to dig out the depression. The reason it's allowed is because you will be loading it up with fertilizer, clearly demonstrating that he's not doing it for tilling purposes. Umesaknin eshamikukeles b'moyed, a stream that became filled with debris, so you can clean out the debris on Chol HaMoed. My mikukeles. And before we go further in the Gemara, let's just glance at the side under our topic heading. Mesakein amas hamayim hamikukol, lachpor amo shehoiso amuko shisho meikor v'nistamo atefach. We'll be describing a situation where you had, originally there was a stream, there was a channel. However, in the course of time, the channel, which originally had the proper size, the proper depth of six handbreadths, six tefachim, that's the, we'll say, the minimum size for an effective type stream, where water will flow and provide its proper needs. The needs, namely, it's serving as a source of water for surrounding fields. However, if the six tefach amo, the amo is the channel, became complete, filled with debris, so that there's only one handbreadth of depth left, so you can clean out five tefachim, the additional five tefachim, to restore it to its original six tefachim of depth. That is what is clearly allowed. The Gemara will then be analyzing variations on the theme, variations by way of numbers. So now the Gemara. What is Mikukeles? My Mikukeles, Omar Rabbi Abba, Shim Hoysa, Muka, Tefach, Mamida, Shisha Tefachim. If the current depth of this of the channel is one Tefach because of the accumulated debris, you can remove the five handbreadths of debris to restore it to its original six tefachim of depth. The Gemara points out, Pshita, there are two cases we've numbered off, 1, 2, and 3. If you look closely at our markings, numbers 1 and 2 are circled. Number 3 is circled, but there's also some dashes indicating that that is something else. So cases 1 and 2 are pshita, are obvious. So what are they? What are the obvious cases? Pshita chatzi tevach al shloshet tvachim. That means originally there was a channel of only 3 tvachim of depth. And right now, there is a debris there, and there's only a half tefach of depth that remains. You'll notice that the ratios are the same as what is allowed. The case before that was allowed was 1 to 6, here of a half to 3 ratio. However, this is not going to be allowed. Kevon de lo ovar maya lo klumhu. Since originally, when it had 3 tefachim of depth, water was not flowing in that. Water in these ditch stream channel arrangements flows only if there's 6 tefachim of depth. Otherwise, people won't allow water to flow in them or whatever. But we're working with givens here that three tefachim was never good at the outset, so that you can't come on Chol HaMoed and dig out 2.5 tefachim to restore to an original three tefachim when that was never useful in the first place. Number two, tefachim al shnei mosar. There remains 2 tefach of depth from an original 12 tefachim. So you see the ratio is the same as the original case. However, we're not going to allow this. You have 2 to 12 is the same as 1 to 6. 2 tefachim of depth remains from an original 12, and the issue would be, can I dig out 10 tefachim to restore it to its original 12 tefachim of depth? No, the kotorach tirchi yaseira lo. There, you're extending yourself. You're troubling yourself to do more than is minimally necessary. All you really need is 6 tefachim of depth. So we're not going to allow you to dig out 10 tefachim. That's much too much. Question: Tefachim al shiva mahu. What about a ditch that was originally 7 tefachim in depth? Now, we saw before that a channel that was originally 6 tefachim of depth, and you needed to dig out 5 to restore to its original depth, that would be okay. So now I have a stream that was originally 7 tefachim of depth. There remains 2 tefachim of depth because there's 5 tefachim of accumulated debris. Can I dig out 5 tefachim? Mahu? Hocho chamisho komamik, hocho chamisho komamik. Before we saw that we were allowing 5 tefachim of digging out, and therefore here too, let us allow 5 tefachim of digging out. Oy, Tilma, or do you say? In this case, there's an extra tefach that you're digging out that you don't really need. What do we mean by that? That means that once you reach the depth of 6 tefachim, by having dug out 4 tefachim, digging out that additional tefach to reach the depth of 7 tefachim, that's not really necessary, and therefore it's called tircha. It's extra tircha, and that we would not allow. Teku, so this remains unresolved. Just to review, the last case, originally 7 tefachim of depth. Right now there's 2 tefachim of depth that remains because of 5 tefachim of debris. Can you dig out those 5 tefachim to restore it to its original depth of 7 tefachim? So that is unresolved. As we go on, a new marking appears on the side under our Mivneh heading, our structural note. The house shape represents Sidrus Shel Maisim, a series of incidents of cases, Shetiru Lehem Lesakin Mekoros Mayim, where they were allowed to restore, to repair water sources. Abaye Shora Livnei Bar Hamdoch, he allowed this family, Bnei Bar Hamdoch, L'shufei Nara. Rashi says, 2 lines from the bottom, La'akor Anfei Ilonos Hagdelin Banohar, to uproot tree branches that were growing in a river. Rav Ashi, we continue in the Gemara, Shora Luhu Livnei Masa Mechasio, allow the people of the city of Mechasio, La'akduchi Nahar Burnitz. Nahar Burnitz is the name of the river. The river Burnitz. He allowed them Lakduchi. Lakduchi is to. Actually, we skipped a line. Let's go back to what we skipped. Let's look at the second house marking. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shora Luhu Livnei Sakusa. He allowed the people of Sakusa Lemichro Nara Tamima to reopen a live spring that had become sealed up. Tamima is something that became sealed up, so that he was allowing the clearing away of whatever was stopping up or was sealing, was blocking, clogging the channel. He allowed the removal of the debris. Rav Ashi, Shorolu Livnei Masa Mechasio, he allowed the people of Mechasio. Maso is a city, the city of Mechasio, Lakduchi, Nahar Burnitz. Nakduchi is to remove debris that accumulated in the middle of the river, in this case of the Bornitz River. Omar, and he explained, Keva deshosu minei rabim, since the public drinks from that river, kerabim domi, the clearing out of it is like for the public. Utnan oisin kol tzorchei rabim, and the Mishnah says that public needs are allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.